There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, John. It's a Midday Mobile. A couple hours of live local talk. Sure glad you are here on this Friday. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. What I say earlier, it was the phone and text hotline. See how combined... The phone and text hotline at 343-0106. Also, a reminder, of course, fmtalk1065.com for streaming and podcasts and show schedules and all that kind of good stuff. Plus, you can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All the, and by the way, on the Facebook page, if you've been dilly-dallying, been lollygagging, what is the thing that Supermom told me the other day, the other one? Dilly-dallying, lollygagging. There was something else in it. If you've been... goofing off, okay, and have not gotten your picture posted for the Yard of the Week, the Plain Gardening Picture of the Week on Facebook, you're playing with fire here because you could be a winner by this Sunday. Now, yes, each week when we get a winner, we shake the Etch-A-Sketch and start it all over, but you go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065, go there to the top post that shows the planting wheel and Bill Finch's picture and all that. You post up your gardening picture under there. Then you get the most number of people to hit like on their family, friends, whatever. And then Sunday, when they start playing gardening for the Gulf Coast, they find the picture that has the most likes, and you win that planting wheel, that nice planting wheel with the I'm a winner sign on the back. Check it out all on Facebook. All you got to do is take a picture like of the yard, the garden, cool trees, cool. I've got the tomato plant still sitting in cups at my house, but anything like that. You're planting pictures, watering, harvesting, whatever. Post those up, and hopefully you will be the winner. So check that out on the Facebook page. All right. So there's a lot we gotta talk about here. Representative Chip Brown's going to join us. We'll talk about what happened in Montgomery this week. And also Sean Ross from Yellowhammer News will join us in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll talk some national stories as well. But I'm really trying to understand this. And maybe I'm wrong. Okay? But I'm looking at a picture. I'm looking at this picture from our news partners at WKRG on their website. And it says, News 5 investigates South Alabama professors on leave over racially insensitive photos. Okay, so what we have here is a picture of three different faculty members. But what I see, and not saying I'm any super internet sleuth on photography, but I see two photographs that have been merged into one. Right? They're side by side. One has one faculty member wearing a Confederate uniform, the gray of a Confederate uniform. And then right next to it, this is odd to me too. It takes up two-thirds of the screen. What is it we learn in photography? Rule of thirds? But here, this doesn't apply. It takes up two-thirds. And then the far right third is a picture of another couple faculty members, one dressed as a powdered wig judge, like an English powdered wig judge, holding a noose, where another faculty member is holding the noose. And they merged those together. Now, at least that's what it looks like. If I am incorrect, somebody tell me that it's all the same photograph. It sure just looks like, if it is the same photograph, the one faculty member is like 7'4". The other faculty members are about 3 feet tall, just for aspect on that. So you put those two in a photograph, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Instead of having some separation, or here's the two photographs, I want them to, if they're going to tell the story, put the photographs up. But how that was done is irresponsible and doesn't help anything. Doesn't help. I mean, even if you're on the side of, you want them suspended, you want them, it does not help. Because there are people, I guess, the protest started 10 minutes ago out at USA. I don't know how many people were there. Somebody can report on that. Are you protesting the right thing? Story goes this way. Story from Michaela Burns at WKRG says, three University of South Alabama professors seen in, quote, racially insensitive, end quote, photos have been put on administrative leave pending an investigation, according to USA President Tony Waldrop. In a statement, Waldrop says the investigation will be submitted through an independent attorney, Suntrees Williams Maynard. I guess that's the firm. The photos from October 2014, Halloween 2014. Where have these photos been? Why didn't we see this in 2014? So 7 years ago, or almost six and a half, from October 2014, Halloween on-campus party show, then Mitchell College of Business Dean Bob Wood dressed as a Confederate general. Is he a general? What makes him a general in that photograph, y'all? Is there something I was missing? But whatever. I mean, it's a Confederate uniform. Shows then Mitchell College of Business Dean Bob Wood dressed as a Confederate general and professors Alex Sharland and Teresa Weldy posing with a whip and a noose. Which, let me point out, if it had been a different kind of costume and you'd had a whip, it'd have been a completely different story, wouldn't it? Something leather and tight fitting. So these two photographs have been merged to create something that I see what's being done. You have an image of somebody in a Confederate uniform, and then just a half an inch to the right of it in the photograph, here's a noose hanging. You know what you're doing. The first photograph, Confederate uniform. Second photograph has the judge. I hope y'all can look at this over at their website. And has the judge in the powdered wig holding the noose. Okay. So if separately you have an issue with those two photographs, that's fine. That's a fair discussion. But if you're outraged, and the reason for the protest and everything going on today is because of that merged photo, you need to check yourself. Okay. Other part of this too is while we're talking about it, while we're having a brain exercise, while we're doing brain Pilates, brain CrossFit. Let's do CrossFit. Brain CrossFit. And get sweaty here. It's going to be tough. It's going to hurt your brain. It's going to challenge preconceived notions and social norms. Now, let me point out that I would not be seen anywhere, inside, outside, in any of those costumes. I'm not going to wear a Confederate uniform as a costume, and I'm sure as heck not going to wear something that would make me look English. For sure. But why don't we dwell there, where the uncomfortable, for the English. So if they had shown up at this party, let's stay with the English thing. If these professors would have shown up at the party dressed as King George, right? Thinking about the powdered wig, King George, or Lord Cornwallis, or just a red coat, just a random red coat, right? So the British imperial powers. Well, you could make the argument, people say, you know, to have monuments or any kind of costuming or whatever for the Confederacy is celebrating an enemy of the Republic. Can't we count the crown as a one-time enemy of the Republic, since they pretty much wanted to squash us and get us gone? Wouldn't somebody in a red coat costume who's representing a country that was a full part of slavery until 1809, so in the 1700s, England was well vested in slavery, in chattel slavery of other human beings. But nobody would say anything. But in this case, a merged together photo has led to reasons for people to protest and people to be on administrative leave, and we'll see what will come from that. So if we're going to say what is okay and what's not okay as a costume, ask yourself that. Could I show up? Oh, my gosh, it makes my skin crawl to think about it. But could I show up in a red coat costume? Could I show up dressed as Lord Cornwallis? Would I get any push? Because the same things you could line out there, slave-holding nation and enemy of the United States. Both things would be true in that case as well. People wouldn't say a damn word. This is not to defend. Understand. It's not to defend the costumes represented there. It's to ask the question, is there any logic to what's going on anymore? 343-0106, 343-0106. By the way, too, it looks like they should go ahead and legalize, like, recreational marijuana in Alabama. I was at the gas station earlier, and people were just smoking weed in front of the gas station, which was new to me. You know, I figured, like, sometimes you smell it coming out of a car or something, but I guess it's Friday. Maybe I got a touch of it when I walk by. Maybe that's what's happened to me. Y'all, this show is Midday Mobile. My name is Sean. I'm damn glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106, and we'll be probably right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, as God is my witness, if you rolled up into the costume party dressed as a red coat, nobody would be like, oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. I said, it's not a light day. It's a heavy day here on Midday Mobile. So get your reps in. All right, to the phones, 343-0106. Larry in Mobile up first. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Sean. You know, there's an old saying that he who has not sinned, cast the first stone. I'm sure everybody out there has got something that's in their closet. And to say that something had happened 7 years ago, which didn't relate anything to what's going on this day and time, you know, you're gonna take somebody's job for something that they've done 7 years ago. So if you're an underage person and you drank and you got caught drinking or whatever, are you not going to be able to get a job because you drank 7 years ago or whatever? Yeah. I mean, come on now. Somewhere down the line, this crap's got to go away.
Well, if it was something, if it was what it's almost trying to be shown to be, then we might have another question. But okay, let's play a little logic game, y'all, that they're not doing elsewhere in the media. Do you think that the then Mitchell College of Business dean would have gone out in a Confederate uniform holding a noose? Because he wasn't, y'all. It's the other picture pushed up against it. Do you think that that would have happened? That's silly. That's poppycock. Larry, I appreciate the call. I mean, and that this gets passed off. Like, well, we didn't say it was this. It was just, here's the two pictures. You have a responsibility when you know it's two pictures to point out that it's two pictures. And just saying, oh, well, everybody knows. No, they don't. No, they don't. And they see that. And I can see the reaction. If you saw those two things, they were. But they're not. They're different pictures. Oh, my gosh. I mean, and if it's the news thing, too, you can say, well, the news. Well, here's somebody in a powdered wig. So, an English judge who would have been hanging Englishmen and probably some of my forefathers, Irish, they hung us daily for sport. This is a non-thing that has caused a protest here. If there was something, Lord knows, I get enough flack that I'm overly sensitive to bigotry out there. Okay, well, that'll be my cross to bear. I want to make sure all Americans are treated equally. And so when it's an uncomfortable thing going this way, I'm going to defend it as well. Nancy's in Mobile up next. Hey, Nancy.
Hey. My point or question is, what if the teacher / professor had been dressed in a union uniform?
It'd be fine. And the point is, well, okay, if the union uniform was right next to somebody with a noose, they'd be saying, well, why was a union? I mean, they put these two pictures together to try. The person in the Confederate uniform is not holding a noose, y'all. If I see this one more time on social media, y'all are stupid.
I just don't understand who put this together to begin with.
Well, that's what I'm trying to dig into, too. Is where I hold TV stations responsible to some degree for posting the picture without some disclaimer. But they're going to say they got it from somewhere else. Okay, where's the somewhere else? I got to find that out.
We have to treat each other better.
Yep.
Nicer, kinder.
Act right.
Instead of doing these things that just blow up.
Yes.
Everybody's, you know, to make people mad, to make people upset.
Yep.
Yeah.
No,
I don't like it either.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's see. So this texter said, I am very open-minded and have no issues with the costumes. However, the prop is an issue in Mobile, Alabama. My question is, who does the prop belong to? It doesn't really fit as an accessory to any of the costumes. I think it's for the judge costume, the hanging judge, right? The English hanging judge. Now, can I, listen, an unnamed texter, am I going to go out to any kind of party with a noose as a prop? No, I'm not. But I'm not also going to sit here when they push two pictures together and say it's something that it isn't. Let's go to Al next in Mobile. Hey, Al.
Hey. South Alabama, we need a university in this city, and it needs to be diversified. I'm not going to make a comment on the situation until, like the president say, he has to talk to him. But my thing is this right here. Can you find out what is the percentage of African-American instructors at South Alabama?
Sure, we could probably find. I guess we could find because everybody's so, into people's race. I wouldn't want to ask people's race. I want to just get good teachers. But I'm sure that's listed somewhere, Al.
Would you think it's less than 10%?
Gosh, I don't know that. And shame on me, but I did not go to school at South. I don't know. Somebody will let me know here. Right now, I'm going to plead ignorance because I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You know, it's 2021 now. It's time for diversification.
I think that's good. I think I want to, our lines are diversified. I just want, but the number of African Americans or teachers at University of South Alabama doesn't make up for the fact that you pushed two pictures together. Somebody did out there to make it look like here's a guy in a Confederate uniform, and look right there, there's a noose. I mean, it's just not true.
Let me make one comment and get off the line. Do a guy that called in the show, Dr. Lou, is he an instructor at South Alabama?
Now, he taught at, I think he teaches at Tulane, I think.
Okay.
Dr. Lou, if he's listening.
By me being African-American, I would hate to take a class from him because I know what my grade would be.
It'd be an A.
No, it wouldn't. It'd be an E.
Why? If you're going to come on and say Lou.
So I know what it would be. But
how is it? Okay, what if I'm a professor, Al? What's your grade?
C.
I'm giving everybody Fs. Because I don't care. The whole bunch of y'all, I don't care what your skin color is. I'm giving everybody an F.
You won't keep your job long.
That's probably right. Listen, this is a miracle. I've kept it here, right? So,
All right, then.
Thanks, Al. All right. So, I mean, and all those other things you can discuss, but you don't. Can we not look at an individual situation of the merging of these photographs and then this protest going on and say, how about this, too? I'm an advocate for equality. It's just the house I grew up in, the house I raised my children in. But if there's BS, it's BS. There's not anything else to talk about here and talk about it. This is where you're going? I mean, this is it? This is the penultimate to do right now? All right, let's see. Lots of text coming in here. Tom says, the woke monster will never be satisfied. It's like a badge you wear if they call something out. Well, here's the thing. So the woke monster, I tell folks too, one day the woke monster will come for you. One day it will. Now, there are things you can have. Here's a problem in today's world. You hear me lament it all the time. There needs to be nuanced discussions because there's still, even though we are so much better off in my lifetime than when I was born in this country, we still got work to do. So let's work on the things that are real and not chase this sugar high of this kind of crap. Now, and see, on the flip side, somebody say, well, what percentage of whites are in the NBA? I don't care what percentage is in the NBA. You get the best players. I don't care. You see, the flip side of it doesn't work with me either. I'm just going to call out the BS when I see it on both sides. And right here, okay, somebody sending me pictures here. That looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let me be liberal with the numbers here and say there's less than 20 people there at the protest. Somebody sending me pictures from there that I can see in the information that is in front of my eyes. So that could be a deep fake. You never know. All right, 12:30, coming right back. Representative Chip Brown joins us. Lots to do. Glad you're here. It's Midday Mobile. We're FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Very good. So, I like facts. I like facts. The person who had sent me that picture there and said, no, so my count was wrong. Because they can see it, because I guess it's down in a little. They said there's between 40 and 70 folks there, not 20. There we go. So, at the protest, pretty good turnout. Are they protesting the right thing? Just a question. I mean, this story will be bounced around for a few more days, and we'll probably have more time to talk about it. Yes, people send me so many links here. I can't just. This is a problem. You're doing the show, and you can't read through everything at the same time. I'll take one more call, and we'll maybe read a couple of tweets, and then or text messages, and then I want to get to Representative Chip Brown. I got a lot to talk about with what did and didn't happen in Montgomery this week. Cindy is in Mobile. Hey, Cindy.
Hi. How are you today?
I guess I'm all right. I got a little worked up.
Here is my problem: is that with colleges for doctors, engineers, all these things. They have to take a certain percentage of people. Their grades not be where they need to be, but they have to take them. But in sports, they can take the best of the best, cream of the crop, and no problem. That's kind of backwards.
Yeah, but I'll say this. If we want to look at it and say there are the number of people that are like top athletes is small. The number of people that, had the brains to go to college is large, a lot larger than people that, you know, can be super athletes. So is it a system? And a lot of the things that were put in, the affirmative action, worked to the point that it was rolled back in a lot of places. And is the idea not to make sure that somebody has the same grades or the same mental capacity, no matter what walk of life they come from, get a shot at going to school? You know, take the smartest people and get them a chance to go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, that what you want to do? So where we put that cutoff line, I don't know that. So and we got to see where the latest is. But I know a lot of the affirmative action discussions that happen now are based on things that were happening decades ago, and they have changed those. Not saying there's none of that now, but it's not the same. I appreciate the call. There's so many ways that, and I'm getting so many text messages on this and other ways people want to go. This is a discussion for another day. I want to stay specific on this one issue, because there may be another issue associated with this where I'll agree or disagree with you. All that. I'm very specific on this issue because I realize how charged it is. I do, and most people will be too, you know, afeared to talk, and I'm not, because truth is truth. It doesn't mean there's not bigotry going on out there. It just means that this is two pictures mashed together to try to create a reaction, and it's not right, and it's my job to, you know, nobody else can call it out. I'm going to call it out. It's what I do, all right? All right, so let's shake the etch-a-sketch and move right on, because a lot to talk about from Montgomery this week. And District 105 Rep. Chip Brown joining us on the show. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Sean. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you on as well. So much on the list here. I do want to check in more about fortified homes, because every time you're on, we get a slew of questions about that. We will get to that shortly. But I want to talk gaming with you here in a second, but before anything goes further, your thoughts on, and I don't even have the bill number that in front of me, but the bill that was giving the legislature the ability to call yourselves back into session that didn't make it out of committee this week, were you surprised?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was disappointed, too. My understanding with that is that the way that committee happened, that we have an issue right now with the way that they're stacking the committees. You oftentimes go have one committee meeting, and then you have to run to the other committee meeting if you have a bill in that one, or you're on those committees or what have you. And my understanding in that committee that it came up, and it was, I think it failed 4-3,
mm-hmm.
and there were two or three individuals that were in another committee meeting that missed that vote. And so I know Becky Nordgren, the sponsor of that, actually, I co-sponsored the second bill. She's just refiling the bill. So she's going to she dropped it yesterday and filed a new bill. I don't know what the number is, but it does exactly the same thing. It's just another bill.
But you got to change minds, right, to get the right vote. I mean, you can have a new bill.
You got to make sure you have the right individuals in the committee meeting. You know, so I think that was simply a case of, you know, you had committee meetings stacked on top of each other. I'm not on that committee, but I did co-sponsor the bill when she's dropped yesterday. So, there is support for that. I mean, us turtles in the legislature, we need the ability to be able to call ourselves back into session so that things dealing with emergency powers and, like the election, you saw that over in Georgia, that they needed to be called back in special session, but the governor wouldn't do it. And so this would allow us that opportunity to do that.
Let's talk about this, Congressman. The details, because, yes, the details are important, because I could sit here and say, well, you know what, this is going to be a bill. Y'all will just be calling yourselves back into work all the time. You're expanding government in Alabama when we're trying to shrink the size of government. It's going to be silly season. Y'all will call yourselves back into things that are not. So what checks and balances are put on this that doesn't happen?
Well, one thing, you can't just, we wouldn't be able to just immediately call ourselves back in a special session. It would be, I believe it's a 3/5 majority vote of both houses to call ourselves back in. And even then, it would be limited to, you know, whatever the subject is at hand. You wouldn't be able to just, offer bills here and there. And it would be limited in scope. And then under the provisions of special sessions, they're limited in time to 2 weeks anyway, so that, you know, that prevents that reckless abandonment. Like you're saying, you know, you're limited in time and scope, and sometimes you see special sessions called within a session. So I like the flexibility and the ability to be able to do that, because there may be times when we need to do that. I mean, I think that right now all the power is vested in the governor's office, and I think we need to put some of that back in the hands of the legislature.
With that, and anything, I mean, people have asked, okay, well, if they call themselves in for a special, it's, is it going to be one subject like the governor would, and will there be a higher threshold for the vote to pass something?
It would be a higher threshold to call ourselves back in the special session, and that needs to be that way, because you know, the current leadership isn't like this, where you could call yourselves back in all the time, but who knows what the future may hold. You need to make it where it is somewhat of a high bar to call yourselves back in a special session, so that it would be some seriousness about it.
Okay. So you do feel with this refile bill there is support? Do you see this as something that passes?
I know there is support in the legislature. Now, the Democrats don't support it at all.
But there were Republican, but it was Republican votes that blocked it. I mean, the Democrats for sure, but there had to be Republicans, and there were.
Sure. But, among colleagues that I speak with the most, we were very shocked. I mean, I thought that was going to fly through. I really did. And I do. There is support. I mean, the other day when Representative Nordgren had that bill, you know, and she was walking around getting ready to go file it. I mean, co-sponsors were literally lining up to co-sponsor this bill. So there is support in the legislature for it, and I want to see it.
All right. Let's talk about what y'all haven't gotten to see in the House yet, and that is Senator Del Marsh's gaming bill. I mean, you've seen it, but it's not coming to your body. This says another big push coming this week. What are your thoughts on it as it stands now, and how much changing do you think might happen?
Well, I don't know, Sean. the Senate has done a pretty good job of being very tight-lipped about that issue. And there's obviously a lot of discussion about changes in the bill, because they took a two-week break to try to iron out some of the issues with it. So depends on who you ask. Some people will tell you that it's in trouble because, what was the two-week pause for? And then others will tell you, no, it was just lining up technical issues. So I do think once it gets to the House that some of those issues that hadn't been ironed out in the Senate, particularly like Greene County, where they have multiple facilities in Greene County and they're picking one facility out of all those facilities. I mean, how do you pick the winner and loser there? Lowndes County isn't in the bill and they have a facility that operates right now legally, Whitehall, that's been there for years. The issues in the Wiregrass, there's no facility around Dothan. I mean, why were they left out? And that's a good geographical area where you could pull people from Florida, southeast Alabama, and that part of Georgia, southwest Georgia. So, those issues, I think, have to be ironed out.
Those are semantic issues, right? I mean, when you talk about this, my thought process, and
represents a lot of votes, though.
Yeah, I know it does.
I'm talking about
the sausage
talking
making.
About the Wiregrass area. You're talking quite a few representatives,
I'm not disagreeing with having facility there. I'm saying the government is in the business of deciding where these will go in versus the market. That is, and I understand how the sausage is made, and I understand that I've been told by many folks there on Goat Hill that I'm in an ideological ivory tower. I get it, but I got to ask these questions because I feel that's my job. I mean, is it the job of government to decide where the casinos are going to be? It seems very strange to me.
Well, you and I are on the same page with this. I mean, I'm a free market guy, and I think you let the market decide. I mean, that's not the way the bill was written, and I think that's unfortunate. I think it's unfortunate that I would love to see, a lottery bill and by itself, a standalone lottery bill, and then a standalone gaming bill, and they chose not to do it that way. I think the lottery bill standalone would fly through the House and through the Senate, and people would have the opportunity to vote on it. By combining the issues, I think you kind of muddy the waters, and I wish we could separate the two.
That's for sure. Coming right back, more with Representative Chip Brown and more questions. And yes, we just mentioned fortified homes, something that the congressman's worked on a whole bunch, and the texts are already coming in, so we'll ask some of those questions as well when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Friday style, Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. Continue our conversation with Representative Chip Brown in just minutes. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And third rows, if you're looking for one. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
There we go. All right. So Larry Kirby with LCM. Larry, let's talk third rows here. This is, if we ride down the road, we know they're popular. Obviously, doing what you do, you know they're popular too.
Absolutely. We got a bunch of third rows. As a matter of fact, I think we talked on Monday. I had 7 Suburbans. I've got 3 left.
Okay.
So they're, they got the third seat plus the extra room in the back. I got Tahoe's third seat. I got Acadia's third seat. I got Nissan Armada's with third seats. I got 4 runners with third seats. So we got multiple choice.
You do, and you also have multiple choice when it comes to financing.
Absolutely. That's the key. We got some great finance companies and banks. Credit unions are really aggressive right now, so we can get the best rate for the customers.
All right. Y'all looking for third rows or cars or trucks? He's got them. Tell us how to find you.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. They can like Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. Right back to our conversation with Representative Chip Brown, and there's a lot. I just want to get finalized very quickly the gaming portion of this, and then we'll switch gears. But on the gaming bill side, in that you said the Senate is secret. I don't know what's the right word. They're not telling y'all in the House what this thing's going to look like. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, Sean. Okay. To be honest with you, I mean that. Unfortunately, that's the way it often happens. There's a lot of trust, but a lot of mistrust. We work together, but yet it's two separate bodies, and we deliberate on our own, and you know, that's just the way it often happens.
Because what I'm hearing is, like, the inside baseball up there, that there are senators that might would vote for it, but they want to know what y'all are doing. You see what I'm saying? They like, well, I don't want to vote for something then have it fail in the House. It seems like it'd be...
Yeah, there's always a lot of that. You know, I mean, the lottery was the same way a couple years ago. You know, that happens all the time where, well, I don't want to vote on it, and then they're going to leave us hanging out, and, you know, that sort of talk. But, I mean, if it's a good bill, you vote for it. If it's not a good bill, then you don't vote for it. I mean, that's just the way I believe it. I don't really get into the actual back and forth on that side of it. I mean, I just think you look at it. If it's good legislation, you vote for it.
You've had quite a few legislative successes already in this session. Let's talk about a subject that every time you mention it here, man, people are so interested in it, and that's Strengthen Alabama Homes.
Yeah, that bill actually passed out of the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee on Wednesday, and it should be, hopefully, will be on the floor in the Senate this coming week. And then if we get it out of the Senate, Senator Jack Williams is handling it for me on the floor of the Senate, and I'm the one coastal member of the House Insurance Committee, and then Senator Williams is the one member from the coast on the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee. And that got out of passed unanimously out of the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee. And what that bill does, Sean, as we've talked about before, we've got a backlog right now of 1,300 people trying to get roofs. And what this bill will do is, for the first time, it'll allow in the fiscal year coming up, it will allow what's left over at the end of this coming, at the end of this year, this current year, in end of September, it will allow anything over 25% in the budget that's left over. Normally that just goes into the general fund and it's spent on whatever in the next fiscal year. What this will do is it'll allow that money to go directly to Strengthen Alabama Homes and be able to put more roofs on. And looking at maybe $800 million, you know, I mean, not 800 million, I'm sorry, about 8 million, $6 to $8 million. I wish it was 800 million. Between 6 to 8 million. And that equates to, the way that works out is, for every $1 million, you can do 100 roofs. And so this bill would allocate that money this coming year towards roofs in 2022. And then moving forward, for the first time in the program, the commissioner of insurance will have the ability to allocate up to 50% of his budget to Strengthen Alabama Homes. And then that's on top of, way that program is financed is insurance companies pay into a fund voluntarily twice a year. And so that's why you'll see a big spurt of roofs being done, and then it'll stop. And then roofs are being done, and they'll stop. And so what this will do, by him being able to allocate monies, it will provide for a flow across the year of being able to do roofs. You apply, you get in, you do the roof. And hopefully that'll eliminate that backlog of right now 1,300 people. And then moving forward, you apply, you get your roof. That's the goal. That's what I was trying to do. I went up there after the hurricane, met with them and said, let's fix this thing. And the insurance department did a great job of working with me to draft this legislation. And we're right there. We can just get it past the Senate in the next couple of weeks, and then get it signed by the governor, and then we're there.
I mean, but this is a willing partnership, right? I mean, you're almost getting rid of the roadblock to it, but it's the insurance companies, you say, are on board too. I mean, this is they're
oh yeah, the insurance companies are all for this, and they're for it in two ways. One, by taking the excess funds left over from the budget this year, from the insurance department budget, that's money. The way the insurance department is funded in Alabama, it's funded by fees paid by the insurance companies, fines, monies that are paid by them into the insurance department. And so when an agent pays his license fee, that goes to operate the department. And so when that money is left over, it just goes into the general fund, and this can allocate directly towards roofs. And by them, every year, those insurance companies pay into a fund for Strengthen Alabama Homes. It's a win-win for the consumer and for insurance companies, because insurance companies they don't have to pay out as much because mm-hmm. there's going to be less damage to people's roofs, and it's a win for the homeowner and the consumer because they're going to have less damage, and by having a fortified roof, your insurance costs, your premiums are going to go down, and in many cases, by half. And so it really is a win-win. And the best thing about it is it's not growing government, and it's not taxpayer dollars. It's money's coming from the insurance department.
Oh, and I trust the motivations.
Coming from the insurance department by way of insurance companies.
And I trust the motivations, which makes me feel good. I trust that the insurance companies want to do what's best for the insurance companies, which is what they should do, right. You know, in a business right. model. But at the same time, in doing that, they're also doing what's best for us and our root. It really is. Rarely I hear win-win all the time. I got to tell you, I roll my eyes. But this is a case I have not been able to pick out the flaw in. So good work.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's a great program, and it really has helped out. To date, they've done around 2,300 homes. Almost, 98% of them are in Mobile and Baldwin County along the coast. And so it's just been a great program for down here. And, it's just, I don't know. It, like you said, it really is. It's a win-win for business and for homeowners. And it's just a great program, And let me say, too, Sean, we actually had a bill passed the House, and it's in the Senate now, that will rename the Dauphin Island Sea Lab as the official aquarium of Alabama.
I love that. Let's do this because I'm up against the hard break. Can I get you booked next week to talk more about that?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. We got the big news coming our way. Thank you to Representative Chip Brown, and we'll be right back. Sean Ross from Yellowhammer joins us next.